You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, it is Derby Talk. We're talking about all the big matches happening in England, in Spain, in Germany, the Clasicos, the Clasicos. We talk about all of it. Also, we talk about some of the tea being spilled by Harry and Meghan, okay? It's your favorite gossip show, and we're the Cooligans, okay?
That's right. Plus, we talked to Tristan Blackman, Swaggy T from LAFC, and the Mets national team is on our show. We talked to everything about, we teach him how to speak to a dude from Jersey, like Bob Bradley, how to get your point across when they're more aggressive than you. Plus, we talked to him about his music. Yeah, that's right. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Yes. Yes. That is correct.
Yeah.
Baby, that you nailed it. That is correct again.
I was like, let me try something different, you know?
You know why? Feeling a little stale. You know what? Let me go, really test out my range.
Yeah, right? Let's jazz it up a little bit. Let's spice it up. You know, put a little sazon.
What's up, everybody? We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero's.
And we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever existed.
Uh-huh. Also happens to be the gulliest, but you already know that because you tune in every week. Twice a week, okay?
Okay, so we're excited about today's show because we're going to be joined by our first LAFC player on the program. We're going to have Tristan Blackman, the defender for Los Angeles Football Club, coming through.
Swaggy T.
Swaggy T, bringing that Vegas energy, okay? It's been what the show has been missing for so long.
All right, just someone who grew up on a strip, you know what I mean?
Okay, yo, I have questions about Tupac. Do you know anything?
I know, right? Where were you, dog? I don't care how old you were. Tell me where you were.
Oh, you weren't born? That's no excuse.
Which way was your stroller facing? You know what I mean? Right?
Anyway, man, things get serious real fast. Hello. Look, we're excited
also,
about...
you brought up Tupac's death with an LAFC player. I mean, come on.
It's just, look, we're just asking the questions, all right? You know? All
right? It's about time we know and the fans need to know.
Okay, I watched the Biggie documentary.
Incredible documentary, by the way.
Yeah, it was
absolutely
really
amazing.
Check it out on Netflix if you have not. This show is an advertisement for the Biggie documentary. Anyway,
that's why we're here.
a lot to discuss in the soccer world. We have, hell of a weekend. I mean, we had the Madrid derby. We had Der Klassiker. We had the Manchester derby. We had Harry and Meghan talking to Oprah. Okay,
bruh.
There was just so much going on.
Are you
kidding
me?
Europe.
Who took a L? The royal family lost their derby. Wow.
All right. Yes. I mean, I've obviously been talking about the tea being spilt. I mean, it was spilled.
And I don't know who put it, but somebody on Twitter said in all caps, once again, the U.S. will defeat England by spilling tea. And yeah. I was like, wow.
I mean, the tea was spilt. It was stepped on. It was spit on.
Oh, my God. Dragged through the bag was ripped open. The leaves would look through. It was a mess.
But entertaining weekend nonetheless. And, I mean, let's start talking about some of these matches.
Did Pep Guardiola join the royal family, by the way? Because he also took an L out of nowhere.
Let's start with the Manchester derby, right? Manchester City, their streak of what, 21 wins in a row?
28 undefeated in all competitions.
Yeah.
Which matched the record set by Pep Guardiola and Manchester City. I mean, just, you know, what's it going to take for him to get to 29? You know, that's what, you know, is he going to be a great manager when he gets to 29 wins?
Exactly, or undefeated in a row? It's like, you know, is his legacy tarnished because he didn't reach that 29th win in a row? You know, real shame.
It was shocking to watch because at some point you're like, don't worry, City is going to do what City's been doing for weeks.
Yeah.
And it just never happened. But don't you feel like the conversation just on Twitter and everything, it feels like City didn't lose, like City lost this. It wasn't that United won this.
I disagree.
Unless you're looking at United fans.
I disagree. I think the problem, and people have mentioned this in the past with Manchester City, is that if they deal with any adversity early in a match, and then what, 40 seconds in, they, a penalty.
Give up a penalty, yeah.
They give up a penalty. And that's it. As soon as that happened, I'm like, this isn't what they're used to. Even the last couple of weeks, they've been winning most of their matches. Some have been dominant, but some have been just like 1-0, kind of just squeaking out wins.
Apparently, that was the first time they've been behind in a match.
Yeah,
since November. Damn.
Who even that was 12 years ago. Nobody remembers that,
right? We didn't even have a vaccine in November.
Okay. We're still mad at Fauci. It made no sense. Okay.
I know, right? We had a whole different administration back then.
You see that once Manchester City are dealing with, some challenges early on, this is, people have mentioned this in the past, but they, as long as they are not down early, the likelihood that they'll win the match is very, very high. Credit to Manchester United. They did what they had to do. And also,
annoy Gabriel Jesus. That's all you have to do. Homie was throwing elbows all match. He was angry.
Yeah. I mean, he made the mistake early on. You could tell he wanted to redeem himself.
But everybody was kind of picking on him, which is good. But like, they saw, like, it's a lot of elbowing, a lot of pushing, a lot of kicking when the ref ain't looking. I mean, that seems to be the way you take this team apart. That, and all of a sudden, Kevin De Bruyne wasn't good anymore. What happened to Kevin De Bruyne?
I think the game plan, especially once Manchester United was up, was, defend like the Red Devils that they are. So I thought it was, look, credit to, I thought Luke Shaw was also really impressive. The goal that he scored was great, but he was great all game. So they did what they had to do. And this is sort of usually what happens with Manchester in these derbies, where Manchester City, a dominant team, they just smack around every other team. But when it's United, all of a sudden, the rules are different. They forget that they are this dominant team. But
you think Pep was angry in the locker room after that, or he was like, "Well, what are you gonna do?" Because it's still like, to have your first loss be the derby. You know what I mean?
What'd you say?
To have the first loss in that run be derby. Right. That's got to suck a little bit, no?
I mean, it's a bummer, but whatever. When you're winning the league by 15 points or whatever, it doesn't hurt.
He's like, what? No caviar after the match today, boys. I'm angry. I'm sure you saw it. Technically not a derby, right? It's a classico, mm-hmm. if you will. But Bayern versus Dortmund. Right when we were talking about Manchester versus City versus United, and you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe they're down. This one had a different feel, Dortmund goes up 2-0 pretty quickly, and everyone's like, just wait. Let's see if Bayern wakes up in the 45th minute. I mean, what a completely just an utter. I mean, it's like it doesn't matter how many you score against us. We're just going to score two more than you.
Yeah, Dortmund have not been having a great season.
And I mean, they're in sixth place, which is not great for them, but still pretty good. Like, they're one spot away from Europa, which is fifth place. They're two spots away. I mean, and it's not that much. They really needed this win. And Leipzig really wanted them to win this, because they're, what, now 2 points away from Bayern. They were up.
Yeah. They were in first for a couple minutes.
Yeah. It must have felt good.
It must have been nice. It's Nazi Bayern in first place. Two great goals, early goals from Erling Haaland. And there were so many questions leading up to this match, because there were so many injuries. Guerreiro was hurt. Sancho, Gio Reyna. So they were missing so many players, and then you see them up 2-0, and you're like, what?
They don't need those players. Sell them all. Yeah.
It started making me feel like the way we thought the Columbus Crew were going to lose MLS Cup against the Sounders, mm-hmm. and then we're completely dominant. But then,
but they didn't have Derek Etienne.
Yeah. And Seattle came back and really realized. You don't have Nagby? Okay, we're going to take care of this.
Right? Yeah, we good.
So, Robert Lewandowski just a hat trick out of what seemed like came out of nowhere. And the fact that
masterclass.
Yeah, it's like everyone had this expectation. Like you said, Bayern is going to come back. They're gonna do what they always do. But more disappointing from Dortmund that they just couldn't hold on. In the end.
Well, you got to feel bad because even their fans, at that point believed. But you could see it. Flick was like, everybody. Just chill. So, we got punched in the face. We still have all these weapons, in particular this large one named Robert Lewandowski. But I mean, this also gave everyone this idea that all of a sudden Erling Haaland is, quite possibly the best player in the world, right? They're like, oh my God, he doesn't need Sancho. He doesn't need, Gio Reyna. He could do it all on his own. He scores goals. He gets buckets. That's all he does. And then the rumor came out that Real Madrid wants to buy him potentially for 150 million. 150 million euros. Do you think he's worth that?
Yeah. Why not?
Who cares? Money, your money.
Money ain't real.
It's just take a couple Bitcoin, baby.
Okay, we're on a big ball of dirt. Who cares? Yeah. They want to pay for him. They want to pay that. Go for it. I think what a
nice way to look at the sport. We're just like, who cares? We printed these little green things. Take them.
Look, he definitely showed his value in that game. I think he had to leave the game maybe because of an injury. But the issues with Dortmund are not up front, right?
If he was on Real, would they have beaten Atletico Madrid in that derby that happened in Spain? Because I know they drew even with Benzema, but I feel like you got Erling Haaland. Maybe you don't need it. Maybe Benzema relaxes. Go film another rap video for your Instagram. You know what I mean?
Okay, we don't need you right now. But that game was entertaining as well. The Madrid derby, right? Impressive stuff. A great goal from Luis Suarez. And whenever a player that leaves Barcelona is doing well anywhere else, everybody's like, okay, didn't we tell you? Okay.
Wow, it's almost like you should have kept him and paid him.
Yeah, remember when he was crying in his locker? Okay. And now he's somebody made the point that he has scored more goals than I think Griezmann and somebody else combined essentially. So they spent all this money to bring in an Atletico player.
That wasn't as good as the player you let go. Come on now.
So we get why Messi may not want to stick around. So
he should go to Atletico Madrid just for the vibes. You know what I mean?
Just to reconnect with the homies. Right?
He's bringing the mate. It'd be amazing.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Barcelona, right? Because this is, as we mentioned before, it could be its own reality show. As the soap opera is quite entertaining. And now Barcelona have elected a new president, the former president, Bartomeu, who is in prison. I don't know where he is right now.
Yeah, he should be soon. He's probably thinking about, can I go to Switzerland? Where's the place where I won't get extradited?
He's dealing with a couple issues. So I think the current president right now is president for as long as we don't find any dirt on him.
Okay? Until the police raid us again. Welcome, Joan Laporta.
Joan Laporta is the new president for Barcelona. And there was a great quote he already mentioned when because there was a video of Lionel Messi voting in this election for the president, which is an interesting thing that they really do. It's like a proper election. You go to a voting booth and the whole thing.
Right.
He brought his son, and he's like, don't say who you voted for. You know what I mean?
We're not allowed to say.
I can't answer. But Joan Laporta, he said, quote, he said, it was really nice seeing Messi go and vote. It is more proof that he loves Barca. I'm convinced that he wants to stay. And yes, he has already congratulated me for winning.
He's selling it a little too hard.
Yeah, really?
First of all, he's doing a lot of Messi talk, which means, if I say it, then it has to be true, right? I mean, look, you voted. He must love me.
There's a lot of declarative statements in here that I don't know if we can really confirm these. Okay,
How do you in Catalan? How do you say you're reading into it a little too much? How do you say that in Catalan? Because I feel like he's just trying to instill confidence in everyone.
Yeah,
and but like it's one of those things where like, no, I'm telling you, that girl's looking at you, bro, like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
She looked this way. She didn't have some in her eye, dude. She winked. Like everything is like you're making it out to be bigger than it really is.
Well, this is what you do. You know, when you first get, when you're either campaigning or you first get the job, right? If Biden, he was like, the 2K stimmy is coming for you, and then I'm like, oh wait, hold up. Yeah. That's not, 2K is not exactly what I was talking about. NBA 2K.
No, he was like, you gotta do the maths, all right? Because like you already got 6. I was gonna top you up to 2K. I wasn't gonna give you another 2K. I mean, we ain't crazy, but I'm already in the position, so you can't say garbage. You know what I mean?
You know?
But that's exactly what Laporta's saying. He was like, look, I promise he's gonna stay. Look. He voted for me. I mean, if you just think about that, he's never voted before. Don't even ask why. It wasn't because he was on international duty or whatever. I'm just saying, like, he's never voted before, and he voted for the first time for me. So if anything, I think I should be president for life. I'm the king of Barcelona, you know?
Okay, put me on the money, please, all right?
Barca bucks. Let's go. Laporta coin, you know?
That's the currency in Barcelona. I don't know if you know that. Barca bucks.
They actually pronounce it Barca bucks, but whatever. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get into that, you know?
I think the potential of Messi staying is really... I mean, it feels, at least for me, non-existent. I mean, you got to say these things when you get the job. Yeah, like you said, to like instill confidence. But that's really the main thing, right? Whoever is elected, whoever gets this job, the top priority, the top issue that they are dealing with. Forget the financial struggles of Barcelona. They're not even thinking about that right now.
No, they're like, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Do we keep our Messi or not? Yeah.
Literally, just like SWAT teams are banging on the door trying to get in. Like, no, we're working on something right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shh, we have to go ahead, take whatever papers you want. Could you just keep quiet? I'm on the phone with Messi. You know, don't want. I'm trying to woo this guy.
Look, the fascinating thing right now, actually, is also Barcelona is in second place.
Yeah,
I did not see them kind of recovering from their terrible start.
I also think he might be right. They're playing better, and they've kind of gotten rid of everyone Messi hated. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of feel like, yo, he might stay now. Like, why ruin your legacy just to go play somewhere else?
I mean, would it ruin his legacy? I mean,
a little bit.
Big players have also left because people make this. They say, that Messi is ruining his legacy by staying in Barcelona because the comparison is always Ronaldo. Oh, Ronaldo did it in different leagues and won with different teams and things like that.
You're right.
And Messi has not done that. So I wouldn't,
I just got a message. Laporta says, shut the fuck up. Yo, Chris, I don't know if you saw, but a glorious return of a New York Knick to the NBA All-Star game. Julius Randle came in. I don't know. I think he might have scored 40, 45 points. I wasn't paying attention. I'm just going to assume he did amazing. I think he got MVP, right? Did he get MVP? Yeah.
I mean, look, we're rewriting history.
look, the Knicks have a winning record right now, and we had an All-Star. I don't care, all right? And I don't know if you saw Obi Toppin was in the dunk contest. His dad was wearing the PSG Dunkman hoodie.
Yeah,
soccer was everywhere. And speaking of soccer and All-Star games, I know MLS does an All-Star game, which I think is great, right? I know there have been talks of the Liga MX doing an All-Star game as well.
Yeah.
We're combining theirs with the MLS, which I think would be incredible.
Which was going to, which was supposed to happen last year.
Right.
Which is why
I said talks, because...
which it should. And it should happen this year, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully, right? Now, I've been thinking... How do you do it in Europe? Would they ever even consider an All-Star game? I think they should. They should do an All-Star game.
It would be different. It'd be entertaining. And you know, a lot of these Premier League players especially love the NBA. They're always,
Griezmann, right? Griezmann loves it a little too much, right? Stop Halloweening.
But they're fans, and I think it would be interesting. But obviously with a congested schedule, it'd be difficult to just add more games anywhere. But that's not what this show is about. Okay?
First of all, we don't care about your well-being. We're here for the money, baby.
Okay, we have an active imagination. What would it look like if there was an all-star game?
I think you'd have to do it in Champions League. I don't think it could be in each league.
Okay, all right.
And I what's that? You know, that gap between the group stages and the knockout stages, perfect time. Because now you know who's in the knockout stages, right? Okay. So you could do it just there, or you could do it amongst everyone, even the people that got knocked out.
Sure, yeah. That's what I love watching losers play. That's
right.
My favorite.
Make them play again. You lost already. But also, okay, it's just a great opportunity for the richest clubs in the world to see who do we want to buy today. You know,
fun. Okay. So if we were doing an All-Star game, obviously the NBA All-Star game had Team LeBron and Team Durant, and yep, then they picked the players that they wanted.
So you've got to pick a great player and an injured player, right? That's how we do it.
No, so who would be, if you had to pick your captain, and let's say your one player, who would it be?
Captain of a Champions League team. I mean, you probably have to go Messi, right?
Okay, so if you pick Messi, I obviously can't. I cannot pick Messi. So.
No, he can't be captain of both unless you're Laporta, and he's like, I'll find a way to do it. Does he want to be?
Okay, so my captain would have to. Oh, captain, my captain. Would have to be, I mean, who I think is in the conversation for or the next best player in the world, Kylian Mbappe.
Okay. Who do you pick as your first player? We obviously can't get through everyone, but if you had to pick your first player, let's say you want to go Rochambeau, who picks first? Or you let me pick my captain first?
Yeah.
You go. Go ahead. No, you go.
Oh, I go. Okay. Next best one, I guess... I'm going to go with a little bit more of a veteran, a little bit more of some stability and consistency. This might be controversial, but I'm going to go with Bruno Fernandes.
Oh, that is controversial.
Yeah.
Because I'm going for straight goals and TikTok vibes. I'm going for Robert Lewandowski. Let's go. Let's go. Okay. Trash okay. Dancing. 100 goals. Let's do this.
If we finish this whole thing out, I think it'd be an interesting roster. My team would win, but
your team would definitely lose, but we should do this. We should pick our All-Star 11 for Champions League. I think it'd be fire.
Okay, so a lot to discuss. And again, Tristan Blackman will be joining us in just a moment, so come right back.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you. And by you, I mean Gully Squad. What an absolutely incredible group of human beings. I've learned so much. It has so enriched my life to have this community of people. You guys are American soccer fans. You guys understand it. You know what we go through. And what better place for you guys to communicate than the Slack channel that we built for Gully Squad. And let me tell you something. I had no idea this many dope people loved American soccer. We have everything from a Rate My Pizza, where I get to roast your pizza, to you guys have pet communications, music. You guys do an MLS pick'em when the season is going. You have a beer, wine, and liquor channel just to learn about different things to make you feel a little better at the end of the night. You've got a coffee channel, which I learned how to make cold brew from that. I mean, if it wasn't for you guys, what would I be doing? Have a lower heart rate? Maybe. But then I wouldn't have all this energy to do this commercial. So if you guys aren't a member of Gully Squad and you want to join, all you have to do is go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad, soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad, or just go to shoutstous.com. Join now. Hi, and we're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC, and Christian, our guest, is here.
Yes. I'm thrilled. This is our first LAFC player.
That's right. This is our first player ever nicknamed Swaggy anything, you know what I mean?
we're going down a list. We're getting them all.
This dude, absolutely incredible. I mean, you know, first of all, this dude won over the trust of Bob Bradley, which, as someone originally from Jersey, let me tell you something, that's not easy, right? It's not easy, you know what I mean? You got to bring him a couple bacon, egg, and cheese, a couple Taylor hams, and be like, it'll be good. But this dude, absolutely incredible defender. You've seen him play incredible in MLS. You've seen him play incredible in CCL. You're about to see him be incredible on our show. Ladies and gentlemen, the defender for your LAFC, pull over, put that bad boy on break, put it in park, and put your hands together for the one, the only, Tristan Blackman, everybody.
Tristan, what's up, man?
What's up, guys?
What's going on? Thank you so much for being on the show, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. Seen you guys a lot, so I'm excited to get it going.
Okay, this is all right. Look, you're flattering us right up top. This is how you do well on this show.
You know, put his name even bigger, okay? On the bottom. I want it bigger.
Seriously, thank you so much for joining us. You know, we talk about LAFC a whole bunch on the show. We've gotten to be there. We were at the bank when you guys won in the playoffs in El Tráfico. I mean, it's an unbelievable environment, and I don't say that, you know, I don't use that word lightly. I mean, playing for LAFC, and I know it's been unfortunate not being able to play in front of those fans for a while now. But when fans are there, I mean, what's it like being a member of Los Angeles Football Club?
It's unreal. It's almost like a dream, to be honest. Like, you have this vision as like a kid of like going into a stadium, walking out for like games, and just like, you know, the crowd just cheering, and you know, from the first minute to the 90th. And that's exactly how it is. It's unreal. And I think you don't really get a grasp on what it's like until you go to a game. So if you haven't been, you should definitely go.
Okay. We've actually been there, and we got invited by 3252, but we're not going to say who, because we don't want to get them in trouble. But we got to be there when they do the jump for LA Football Club. And just the energy playing in front of 30, I mean, you must make it must make you want to play better, because if you don't play well, you're probably afraid to go home. You're like, there's 3252 people waiting for me outside.
No, yeah, you definitely gotta watch your back if you mess up or something like that. That's for sure.
when you, I mean, for someone who came up the way you did, and we talked to so many American soccer players, and there's no one way to get to pro levels, and you're an example of that. The pride of Las Vegas. You bet on Blackman, huh?
always. You already know.
I got jokes. But you found your way to the pro levels, and you've even managed now to get called up by the men's national team. From where you started to where you are now, I mean, did you know this was going to happen the entire? Did you believe in yourself the entire time?
Of course, you have belief in yourself, but I think, you know, when you're younger, it seems so far away. It's like, you know, I have to do this, and you never really know what the journey is going to be like. And like you said, I've had an interesting journey, you know, to the pros, but, you know, everything and everyone that I've met along the way, you know, I cherish those relationships forever. And no, it's been incredible. I put on for my city. I try to do the best I can for, you know, LAFC, and the club that I play for. And yeah, we just keep rolling, man.
Okay, and you mentioned, Alexis had mentioned Bob Bradley earlier, mm-hmm. obviously a legendary coach mm-hmm. in world football, but when, you know, when it comes to earning that man's trust, we've seen the lack of patience he has with the media. So I can imagine what he does with
players. We try to tell him, we're not media, we're comedians.
right. You got to let him know.
What is it, you're a young player, and being able to there are a lot of veterans on LAFC, but getting to earn a starting spot must mean a lot to you, and especially with a coach like Bob Bradley.
No, of course. I've been through a lot since I've been here. It's not like I was just given the keys right away and said, you know, run with it. It's been lots of ups and downs. That's in training, that's in games. So yeah, it's been a learning process for me. It's an honor to, you know, step out on the field every time and work for the coaching staff that's here, especially Bob. And yeah, like you said, to get the trust that you have from him, it means a lot. So, you know, I'm happy that I have that, and hopefully I just keep making him proud. So
see, now you're like a Vegas dude. You're like a West Coast dude. You're like a relaxed type guy. The energy that people like Bob Bradley, people from Jersey bring, is a little different. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally different.
There's a certain level of intensity by which we relax with. You know what I mean?
When
it comes to something as competitive as soccer, the first time you got a chance, and you know, he's legendary for his intensity. Just the first time that you got a chance to get any tutelage from him, were you like, is this advice or is this a threat? You know?
I was just going to say that. No, it seems like a threat. You're like, oh my God. But no, like, obviously he's looking out for you. But yeah, it's definitely light years different than like a West Coast coach or something, like all laid back, kind of lackadaisical, go with the flow type of thing. He's like, this, and if you don't do it, you're getting those eyes, so you need to watch out.
Yeah, his face seems like every sentence ends with "or else," you know?
Yeah,
try hard out there, or else. And you're like, all right, yeah. I don't know why. Did he say that or did I hear him say that?
Is that encouragement? Right, yeah. Yeah.
Try to take it as that for sure.
We had a question from Gully Squad, which is our supporters group. They're our 3252, okay? Well, there's not as many, but it's we love them just as much.
There's a period in there, 32.52. There's a half person.
But, Nicole Hack, she had asked, what's the best advice, if any, that Bob Bradley has given you?
There's been a lot. I think the thing that I hold closest to me when I'm in uncomfortable positions on the field, even in life, really, is just be fearless. Like, what do you have to lose? Yeah. It's your life. Take control of it. Like, don't be afraid, you know? So I think that's the biggest thing I've taken from not only Bob, just being in this culture that we've started here, is just really just go for it, man. Like, life is short, so if you can go for it, I mean, then you live the life fulfilled. So, yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Beautiful. And that's probably what inspired you to work so hard, get to the point where you're getting these contract extensions, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And then you get a call up from the men's national team. We've asked this. So many players think this is true. Did you think you were getting pranked when you got that phone call?
It was crazy, actually, because, like, we had just lost to Tigres in the final of CONCACAF.
Yeah.
And I was on the flight back to L.A., and that's when I found out. I was like, you know, obviously I'm still bummed about the loss, but then I'm like, I'm going to camp? Like, what? No way. Yeah. Like, it's a surreal moment. But yeah, no, it's crazy. I'm still trying to, like, wrap my head around it, because it's a big deal, you know, for a lot of players. A lot of people don't get called up. And so, no, it's a big deal for me. And yeah, hopefully get more soon.
Why do you think you got called up?
I mean, it's got to be a culmination of things. I mean, you know, the coaching staff saw something in me throughout the year. In CONCACAF, you know, I ended well. I was playing pretty well at the end of the year. So, you know, maybe that had something to do with it. I think I just started bringing an intensity to the end of the year because it's cutthroat. You know, we're in a tournament where we're going to win trophies. So, yeah, I just had this tenacity about me. I really just said, like I said before, be fearless. And I just kind of went for it. And, you know, maybe that's what sparked interest more than before.
We would have also accepted, yo, I balled out of control. It would have been crazy if they didn't. You know?
What do you mean, why? You saw the tape, my G?
Yeah, right. I could have said that. That's the West Coast and me trying to chill.
Both,
you know?
Both good, though.
Let me find out why I didn't get caught last year. You know what I
mean? That's
funny. We did talk a little bit about the U.S. Men's National Team camp. You did go to the camp. Unfortunately, you had to leave because of an injury. But what was that experience like, for the time that you got to be there? I know it was your first call up and it was a big deal. You didn't get, you know, exactly where you wanted to end up that camp. But how was that experience so far?
No, yeah, it was great. I got a lot out of it. You know, just in talking with the staff, getting to know them, getting to know the players that were there in the pool at the time. Yeah, it was a great experience for my first time. I met a lot of cool people. I learned a different system that I haven't been exposed to yet. Yeah, it was another learning experience to take on this journey that I'm on. So, yeah, I'm really excited to keep on seeing what's coming. So, okay.
When we talk about the men's national team, there's a lot of questions about whether Greg Berhalter has such a pool to pick from now. It seems like there's a lot of players that are European-based, and there's a really good core of Europeans, of Americans that are based here in the domestic league. Do you think you kind of have a little something to prove as an MLS player when you get into the men's national team camp to try to make it to that senior squad? Because Gold Cup is coming up. You know, the World Cup is coming up.
No, I think for a lot of domestic guys, it's like a chip on your shoulder. We have something to prove. We want to show that the league is moving in the right direction, that there are great players here. So, yeah, I think definitely going into camps as a domestic player, you have, like I said, a chip on your shoulder. You really want to prove that you can hang with the guys in Europe. I think at the end of the day, you want to ball out, and whoever's there, you know, it doesn't matter who's in front of you. Just do your thing type of thing.
Yeah, there is something unique, I think, about maybe fans of MLS, even players having a chip on their shoulder. But even fans, when MLS teams are doing well in CCL, you start seeing like, okay, well, yeah, they might be a rival or whatever, but I'm gonna support them because I want them to do well in TCL. What was there were some incredible matches. I think when TCL took the break, people didn't know what to expect when it came back, and the match would they really be intense? Will the players like really care as much as they did in the beginning of the season? Yeah. It was, I was like, yo, the LAFC wants this.
You're like, is there turnbuckles around the pitch? What are these guys are going for?
I want to talk about, unfortunately, LAFC did not get to win that trophy. But, the matches were insanely entertaining. The game against Club America, what was your perspective of that match? We got the red card from Atuesta. It was just like, with Memo, and like it made no sense. It felt as CONCACAF as possible.
Yeah.
But you guys ended up winning that game. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was unreal. Like, at the end of the day, you go into the locker room, you're like, all right, we're a man down. Like, we just got to – it's the same thing I've been talking about. You just got to go for it. Like, we have nothing to lose. And then Carlos just has a little magic, you know? It's just like, what? But, yeah, we grinded it out, got the dub, and it was just like, wow. Like, you had to sit back and really realize, you know, we just did that. Like, we have that in us, you know?
I'm glad you said that, because when Carlos Vela scored, we were all like, what? I'm glad to know the players were also like, did we? Is that real?
Yeah.
Are y'all going to check that? Like, that's real?
Yeah. Did that really just happen?
it's such a wild moment. Is there a difference? Do you think playing in a league like MLS, which is so physical, helps you and prepares you for CCL? Or is it a different type of energy? Because they seem to really want to body American teams when they come out here.
No, yeah. I think it's different. I think players in Liga MX play different than we do here in the States. And I think once you get into the tournament, you really start to see, okay, you know, they're technical. So maybe we have to push it to the physical edge to really try to, you know, bully them in a sense. But yeah, at the end of the day, we just really we're we're going to go get it. Like, we want to win this thing. So whatever we have to do to get there, we're going to do it. And, you know, it panned out that way.
Okay. Yeah. It does feel like MLS teams sometimes get frustrated or whatever. But when you see, I mean, the two goals that Carlos Vela scored, pretty quickly, it's just like, there have been so many moments throughout his MLS career where you're just like, we're NYCFC fans, even us, we're like, yo, what is this dude? Can somebody stop this guy? Like,
yeah, seriously.
The level, it was just his birthday. Happy birthday. But like, stop chipping everybody in the league.
Eat a lot of cake. Slow down. You know?
Right? Yeah, he's full throttle right now. Thank God. Seriously.
In training, I mean, it has to be equally frustrating, right?
He just pulls it out of the hat. Like, it's always in the bag. Like, you know it too. And it's just like, it's like a player, I've talked to somebody about this before. It was like Arjen Robben, like in Bayern. Yeah. Nobody could stop that. You know he's going on his left foot, but you're not going to stop. It's the same thing. It's like, bro, he could pull up from anywhere and it's just going top bin. So, not nice.
How do you do it though? Are you one of the defenders that likes to be like, yo, you're looking great out there? Like, you try to get in their head a little bit, you poke in at their side. How do you win that sort of mental battle against a player that, you know, at any moment it's just going to curl one from regardless of weird-ass angle. Like, he was in the concession stands. How is that allowed?
right? No, I think you have to. Like, defenders for sure try to get, you know, a mental advantage on guys. Because, like, if a guy's that good, you have to try to do something, you know, like get in his head, maybe throw him off his game, or maybe be more physical with him because he's not going to like that as much. So that's kind of that in turn plays like how I was doing in Champions League. I was just from the start, like, I was in your face. I was like not letting people breathe, or I was trying to as much as I could. So, I mean, I feel like that fared well for me. And I think as a good player, you don't like that. So that's why we try to do it for sure as defenders.
Because I'm not going to win the race. So I got to get in your head. I'll be like, yo, your mother said hello this morning when I nudged her in bed.
Right.
You got to, you know what I mean? You got to really get in there. You got to annoy them.
Alexis is not winning the race, the jog, just the brisk
it's
walk.
It's all here, bro.
Yeah. If I could put rollerblades on, I'll still lose. But at least I look fly out there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you so much to Tristan Blackman of LAFC for joining us. I have a couple quick questions that we got from fans, from Gully Squad. We got an LAFC fan in here, cool. Valeria Tapia. She asked, how do you feel about your nickname being Swaggy T? Has that stuck? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I went through a little phase like 2019 where that was who I was, you know. So I really had to rock
IG,
it.
You believe your own IG account?
No, you have to. But no, I mean, I have a bunch of nicknames that people throw around. But yeah, that's definitely that one hits home. So shout out to Valeria for bringing that back up.
She also said she saw you in the studio on IG Live. When do we get to hear what you're working on? You got bars?
What are we doing here?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to drop on SoundCloud later this year.
Swaggy T going to drop on SoundCloud.
Swaggy T.
You got bars? Are you working on music or?
Yeah, me and my friends kind of like do some stuff. Like during quarantine, like all COVID, I had a buddy who came to LA and we kind of just chopped it up for a bit. He was here for like a month. So, yeah, we kind of just started dabbling in music. We're like, yo, kind of good at this. Nah, I'm just kidding. But nah, it was.
You're
it
like,
was
maybe
fun.
I'll
it's
make
cool
the national
time.
Team of hip hop. You know?
Yeah, right. But yeah, I dabble a little. For sure.
Okay, very
okay,
nice.
Okay, all yeah. right. I can't wait to see your work. All right, Tristan. All right,
we'll see.
All right, Tristan Blackman. Thank you so much for joining us, man. This has been super, super cool. Honestly, you're welcome back anytime you want to be on the
great.
Show. Is there anything you want to let people know about, or what they should check out before we sign off?
Yeah, just honestly, just do your part, man. Helping out people, like local vendors and stuff, like people working on the streets, you know, trying to sell food. Really just help the people, man, because I think that really matters, you know, in a time like this right now where a lot is going on. Just help somebody out, you know. If you can do that, you know, every day, do it, man, because that really makes a difference, and I try to do that. You know, there's a lot of charities and stuff you can dabble in, and power to all the people doing that. But also don't forget about the people really grinding in the streets, you know. So that's all I gotta say.
Yeah, man, support your local elote, man, dude. Let's do
this. Seriously. Nah, for real, though.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. I wish we had him in New York. Yeah.
Yes, well put, Tristan. All right, everybody. I mean, also, make sure you follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social media platforms. Follow at Fubo Sports and make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the show. All right, Tristan, a couple other pieces of work to do. We got to get to the goal celebration GIF. Obviously, we want to do something fun, something silly, whatever. You're familiar with scoring a couple goals.
Scored that coming back from halftime goal that Carlos Vela scored. What's your goal celebration?
Oh my God, I don't even know if I could do it. I'll probably rip my shirt off or something. But man, yeah, I don't know. I think my favorite one. It's not even like that crazy, but Memphis Depay, he does it. And it's literally just so simple. You just just block out all the haters, bro. Yeah. Like, no negative energy around here. Just silence everybody. Simple, but it means a lot, you know.
Okay.
All right.
Done. All right. Tristan, absolutely crushed it. Thank you so much for joining us, man. Let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Tristan Blackman, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
Hey.